Sing those great hymns and get a blessing from them. First Thessalonians chapter 5. It might sound familiar to you because we're preaching on it on Sunday nights. And we'll be there again tonight going through those seven commands that Paul gives us. But I'm going to use the beginning of the chapter this morning to preach to us a little bit, I hope. And maybe glean a little help today. For sure, if nothing else, maybe nail down some doctrine. You know, we need doctrine. Amen. At the end of the days here, people are moving away from doctrine. And doctrine's getting all messed up. You know, that's why the Lord gave you a Bible. And He gave you the way to study the Bible and to know how the Bible is true. You say, well, every preacher in the pulpit today is preaching truth. That's not the truth. So, well, every Baptist church is preaching truth. That's not the truth either. You know what? You know you're getting truth. First of all, you have a Bible in your hand. And the light of the world shines light on it for you. And then you understand you rightly divide the word of truth. And when you rightly divide the word of truth, you get the truth right. That's how you get it. And if you wrongly divide it, then you don't get the truth. And what's happening today, especially as it seems like it's getting closer and closer and closer, for the Lord to come, and I believe He's ready to come. I believe it can happen at any moment. I don't know. You say, well, preacher, this, and this, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll go there today and stuff like that. But I'm just saying that it just seems like it's right now. I mean, it's just kind of exciting, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I kind of get excited about going home to heaven. I said on Thursday night, I know young people, I kind of gave you a little thought on Thursday there about we were young once, too. Everyone in this room was young once. I know you young people don't believe that, but we were young once. All right, I know it's kind of hard to see that when you look at us now and that kind of stuff. And we're going to play a game when it comes to our Christmas party time there to guess ages. Because I don't think any of you will get some of the people's ages right in this room. You're going to say 40 and they're 80. And you're going to say 80 and they're 40, you know. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking a lot forward to that. But anyway, we were young once too. You know when you were young? Listen, when you were young, you weren't as excited about the rapture as you are now. You had some thoughts in your mind, too. Things creeped in on you also. Just like we did, well, I like to get married, I like to do this, I like to do that, and those kind of things. So, you know, just go back and remember, listen, you haven't always been old, and you haven't always been as mature maybe in the Lord as you are today. So give some grace and some understanding. But young people, can I tell you this? You should be as excited about the rapture as the oldest people in here. Why? Because we get out of this world. This world is not going to get better. It's going to wax worse and worse. You think, well, someday it's just going to turn around and, you know, right people get in government, right people get in office and everything's going to turn around. It's never going to turn around that way. It's just going to continue to degrade and get worse and worse and worse. Now, here's the good news. As long as the Lord tarries, His grace is sufficient. That helps your parents and grandparents because if you die and the Lord hasn't come yet, aren't you glad you can still take care of your kids, your grandkids, and your great-grandkids, and your great-great-grandkids? The Bible is settled forever. It stays here. The Word of God stays here. The thing that's keeping you and keeping your family is God, not you. So thank God the Word of God remains even though you get to go home to heaven. That helps me. That helps you. You are not the glue that holds your family together. Well, I mean, what will happen to my family if I die? Well, what happens to your family without Jesus? They need Jesus. We're all going to die. It's appointed on a man once to die. If the Lord tarries, I got good news for you. We all go in a box. Why is that good news? Because to die is gain if you're saved. That's not bad news. That's good news for you. I got it. The sorrow and others and those that have missed you and all those kind of stuff there. But listen, it's not doom and gloom to know, hey, one day I'm going to a box. Matter of fact, that's just one step closer. I see Jesus. So just to get that thought, because here in 1 Thessalonians here, I showed you last week here, Paul gives you a lot of great truths, great book to read. a great book for you to read as a believer and things like that. He talks about the rapture, but he also talks about the second advent. The two are not the same. Can I just help you a little doctrinally here today? You're going to hear it, see it here in a moment here. But we are pre-tribulation. What's that mean? We're pre-trib. That means the church gets out before the tribulation starts. Say, well, preacher, there's a bunch of people preaching today that that's not true. Well, they're wrong and Bible's right. I'm going to show you here in 1 Thessalonians 5. They were even preaching against Paul when you get to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And he comes in here and says, I hear by letter, by word, by whatever. But they're just running their mouth. They're wrong. God's right. And God is right. Because he had all these people were worried that they missed the rapture. And all these people, because they were listening to the wrong people. See where I'm going today? You can get yourself real messed up if you listen to the wrong people. That's why God gave you a Bible. God placed the Spirit of God inside of you and told you to study to show yourself approved unto God. So when you hear something, you had enough study to know, hey, listen, they're wrong, God's right. And we're premillennial. It's not the same. What's premillennial? That means Jesus Christ comes back at the Battle of Armageddon and then goes into the millennium. Yes, he comes. The second coming happens before the millennium. He comes back and then off to the millennium. We're premillennial. We're not or post and all that kind of garbage. But those people are out there. Can I ask you a question? If I had an amillennialist up here preaching, could you tell the difference between an amillennialist and a premillennialist? You're all looking at me like, tell us, preacher. I'm not going to tell you. Why? Study the real thing and you'll know a counterfeit. What's the real thing? The real thing is the Lord comes back before the millennium starts. None of this, all this kind of that. You're not building no kingdom. You're not bringing in the kingdom. He brings it in. Glory. Hallelujah. That's why you're premillennialist. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You can stand if you would, please. I'm going to read a few verses for you. Stretch your legs. Kick your shoes off if you need to. Take your jacket off. Put your jacket on. Put a sweater on. Put a blanket on. Just get comfortable. All right. Verse number 1. But of the times and seasons, you're never going to let me teach kids church again, are you? But of the times and seasons, it was all girls in there for the longest time. I mean, I had a great lesson. I didn't know it was going to be all girls. My wife this morning, she's like, oh, I can't make it. I was like, okay. So I just got on Jarius' daughter there, and next thing I know, I'm looking at like how many girls? 9 girls. Thank God for Luke. Luke came in and I at least had, he made my illustrations a little off because I had to say, and the son, because it was all daughters. Man, good thing. Thank you, Luke. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. It is good to get your terms of the Bible right. Day of the Lord, day of Christ. I'm telling you, you have a Bible for a reason. All right, look, come on, keep going, I'll come back to it. So cometh as a thief in the night. And many go, well, see, that's Matthew 24, that's the rapture. Jesus doesn't steal the church away. See, well, I thought he comes as a thief in the night. This is second advent. This is second advent. You're already gone. You're 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'll read it here in a moment here. You get raptured out before this starts. Times and the seasons, you don't need to know. You do know the times and the seasons. Acts chapter 1, they don't know the times or the seasons. They're asking the Lord, when are you going to bring, when's the times and the seasons? Because they're looking for that millennial kingdom. They're looking for that kingdom to be set up. And he says, you don't know that. But here Paul tells you, you do know that. It's amazing what the Lord reveals to us. What you do know compared to what others know. But here are the times and the seasons. Well, it comes as a thief in the night. And you know, one's in the field and one's out of the field. Yeah, but there's also a rapture in the tribulation time. You didn't know that because we taught that to you. You just might have forgotten it. Well, there's only one rapture. There's more than one rapture in that book. You're just thanking God for the rapture that gets you out of here. But here in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul's saying, now listen now, times and seasons, thief in the night, day of the Lord's not us. Now, I got it. It's right there in the time there, the day of Christ and the rapture and the day of the Lord and the tribulation coming in and all that kind of stuff. But listen, all that tribulation, you get out before the tribulation starts. He doesn't steal you out. You're his bride. You didn't steal your bride. He's not a thief. But when he comes in the day of the Lord,
When he comes back at that second advent, he's coming back to judge. And right here in verse 3, I know I had you stand. I'll let you sit in here a moment. What's going to be being said in verse 3? Peace. You know who's going to be preaching peace? The Antichrist. You know what they're going to be believing? Peace and safety. Oh, oh, finally peace. Bam. Here he comes. Why? They know the times and the seasons. Ladies in here that are pregnant. He's going to talk about a woman in travail, giving birth. You know, you roughly know about when the baby's going to be coming. You can basically get it probably within a few days and weeks. But you don't really know the exact day necessarily. Now, they might guess it right, but that's rare. But you know the times and you know the season when it's going to happen. You can kind of figure from this thing 40 weeks down the road, then it's going to be roughly around here. Well, that's the same thing here. They're going to know he's coming. They just don't have the hour. I'll pray and I'll let you be seen. You know what's happening right now? Believers all over are asleep spiritually. We're asleep spiritually. You know, he says in the last days, many shall fall away from the faith. Many, 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 and many are falling away. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us today. Preach to us today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Go back, if you would, to verse number 1. Maybe just set this thing up a little bit for us here. All right, so he's going to give you. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verse number 13. 13. It says, but I'm going to show you the difference between the rapture. I got it. Rapture's not in the Bible. All right, that blessed hope. Go to Titus. Hold your hand there and turn over to Titus. Titus. Brother, you kick that air up for me, please. I see him going to blankets already. Titus. Look at Titus chapter 2. Look at verse number 11, please. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Don't worry about those in Africa. You know, God knows about the people in Africa. God knows about all the tribes that people don't think anyone else knows about. God knows everything. Isn't that a blessing? Doesn't that help you? Can I tell you what you're not responsible for except to pray that all men be saved? You're not responsible for those in Africa. You're responsible for those here. We spend a lot of time wondering about Africa and we don't do anything about those that are here. You do witness to the ones that are around you. Verse number 11, 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. But what are we looking for? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great, who? Our Savior, Jesus Christ. Right there, he gives you the deity, does he not? Jesus is God. You must believe that Jesus is God in order to be saved. You can't claim God and not Jesus. You can't claim Jesus and not God. They're the same. You must believe that Jesus Christ is God. Otherwise, you have a spirit of Antichrist. Antichrist. So Jehovah's Witnesses are Antichrist. Amen. They're Antichrist. Say, well, you know, I have a hard time with that deity and hard time believing. I don't fully understand God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Hey, listen, he never said you had to fully understand, but you better believe that God is Jesus and Jesus is God, and you better believe the Trinity. Why? Because it's written in a book that God wrote for you. He put it right there. You're looking for the glorious appearing. There's the rapture. Your blessed hope. So if you want to call it anything, call it the blessed hope, call it the glorious appearing. We just use the word rapture because that's the word that we know, just like we use the word Trinity. Go back, if you would, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Why? Trinity is three. Trinity. It makes sense, right? If you say Godhead, if you just say Godhead, you don't know how many. Trinity lets you know, hey, three. Three. So you get the understanding why we use words. Words aren't just thrown out to throw out words. Words are given so we can get a better understanding, and thank God for that. If I just got up here and you never heard about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and I just said the Godhead, you could think he's a ten-headed monster. You wouldn't know how many heads he has, but the Bible tells you. Godhead. All right, so back here, blessed hope, glorious appearing, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad He lets you know? Aren't you glad He lets you know what's ahead of you? See, we're always wondering what's ahead of us. Aren't we always planning ahead? Planning ahead? Well, here's the greatest plan you have. You're getting out of here. Brethren, don't be ignorant of this. This should excite you. I ain't staying here much longer. I'm getting ready to fly. Woo! He will transport out of here. Don't be ignorant of that. Matter of fact, it's good to remind yourself every day, every morning you get up, hey, Lord, this could be the day. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look for Your blessed hope.
Won't it?
Don't let a day go by where you don't look for that. That helps you, by the way. That reminds you that this world is not your home. You're just passing through. Don't make your home down here. Your home's up there. Don't lay it up down here. We'll get to it in a moment. You know why all these people are buying all this stuff and building bigger barns and storing all this stuff and laying up their treasures and laying up their food down here? They got the Bible wrong. They just got the Bible wrong. They're not like, you know, they're not insane. They just got their Bible wrong. They're thinking they're going to have to go through this tribulation time and this time of wrath and all that stuff and how are we going to survive? So let's lay it up down here. You know what happens to all that stuff that they're laying up now? It burns. You know what happens to them if they're saved? They get to go home in the rapture too. We serve a great God. Now they'll get it up there. Like, what are you thinking, Mormon, at the judgment seat of Christ? But here he says here, 13, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Aren't you glad how the Lord describes death? Aren't you glad if you're saved, your loved one, he's just asleep? Your loved one is more alive today than ever if they've gone home to heaven already. And can I just say the opposite of that? Anyone who's in hell is alive today too. They're just burning. Why'd you say that? Because you don't want to go to hell. If you're lost today, get saved. I told you on Thursday night, well, my family, listen, you don't want to go to hell even if you thought one of your family members was down there. You'd never see them anyway. Why would you burn for nothing? You're not going to meet them there. Didn't they just sing that great song? Listen, one of the great blessings the Lord gives you being saved and your loved ones being saved is someday you get to see them again. I know we long to see Jesus, and Jesus should be the one you long to see. He's the most important one to see. You can't wait to see Jesus, but doesn't it bring you a little comfort you get to see your loved one again? Boy, God's good to us. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep, and there's those two great words, you better be in Jesus, not in Adam, will God bring with him. Aren't you glad God will bring you with him? For this we say, and this is just a great passage. He's going to tell you here in a moment here. This passage right here at 1 Thessalonians 5:9, you go back to this passage and you can read 5:9. What's in the future? You escape the wrath of God. Why? Because you get raptured out of here. Pours down on this place. You know what that brings you? That brings you comfort. You know what people believe when they think they're post-tribulation or mid-trib and all that kind of stuff, and they think you might go through a little bit of the tribulation, the great tribulation, or all of the great tribulation, you know what they have? They have no comfort. You know what you have? Believe in the Bible, the way the Bible's written, the way God said it, you have great comfort. So he says here again, 13, 14, 15 now, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. There's a good one to say it by. All those years, there's been many waiting all the way back there. He reminds you of Peter there. Be not ignorant. You know, don't think he's not coming. He's coming. He's just not willing. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. And they're waiting and they're waiting. And by the thousand years, all the people have been waiting. Maybe we're the ones that get to go home in the rapture. Great, wouldn't it? But even if we're not, we get to go home anyway. Isn't that a blessing? So he's 16. He says, for the in Christ and 16. Listen, you better die saved. If you're not saved today, you better get saved now. Don't wait for an invitation. Don't wait for the end of the service. You call on the name of the Lord to save you now. You confess yourself a sinner. You repent. You turn to Jesus Christ. You take the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as the payment for sin, for your sin debt. The blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you today. Get saved now. Why? Because you're not guaranteed another breath. No one guaranteed another breath. Wanda and I were on the way over here to church. I'm telling you, the Lord watches over us, does he not? coming down US 1, pretty good sized pickup truck in front of us. We were just following behind them, that's just talking and minding our business. Next thing you know, that guy swerves out like this, and right in front of us is a dead stop car. Now, I'm not going to say Wanda did well, but she did pretty good for a lady. I'm just digging, aren't I? She just, But you know, it could have went just like that. What do you think? I think the Lord gave enough grace to let us go around. There was nobody beside us. There could have been someone right beside us. That car was dead stopped. We had no idea. Couldn't see it. You know, the Lord watches over you. The Lord takes care of you. But you'd realize if Brother John or my wife would have got a phone call saying, hey, preacher's dead on US 1, it would have been all right for me. Why? Because I know where I'm going. Whether I go by rapture or by the grave, I'm glad I go where he is. Aren't you glad you know you're going where he is? So he says here again, verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So you might just shout a little bit here. And so shall we, don't you love this word, ever, ever, ever be with the Lord? I told the kids in Sunday school, I told you I gave your kids a little bit of doctrine, a little bit of heavier stuff there. I talked about Jesus Christ being the first begotten from the dead. Now, the young ones here could tell you what that means. I hope you know what that means. Jesus Christ was not the first one to raise from the dead. Elijah raised one from the dead. Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. Lazarus was raised from the dead, all before Jesus was ever raised from the dead. So why is Jesus Christ the first begotten from the dead? Why is Jesus Christ the first begotten from the dead? Because he will never what? He'll never die again. Aren't you glad since Jesus rose and never died, you rise and never die again? Isn't that a blessing to know that? That helps me, by the way. So I just can't understand eternity and how am I going to be alive forever? He keeps you alive. He keeps you alive now and he'll keep you alive for all of eternity. So he comes in here and so what do you do with that? Why? Because if I'm alive or I'm dead, I'm going home. The grave cannot hold you because of Jesus Christ. And then he comes into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That's the rapture. Now 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, now he's going to give you second advent. Now after the rapture, the great tribulation takes place here. You're getting it in the book of Hebrews there. Church is gone. The Lord takes his attention back to the book of Matthew. That's why the book of Matthew is so important to you. That's why understanding Matthew chapter 5 and 6, he probably could go over it again and again and again just so it sinks in. That makes you real thankful for what you have. Gives you a great understanding for blessed is the pure in heart and all those things. There's a lot going on in that tribulation time that they're responsible for that you're not. So don't put yourself in there, thank God. So he comes in here and says, but the times and the seasons. Times, years, seasons. We know there's four seasons. Come into the fourth watch. Get out of this place. What a blessing that will be. And then he uses words here. How do you know? Look in verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly. For yourselves know how? How do you know something perfectly? Don't you have a perfect book? Come on, church. Say, oh, there's no absolute truth. The Bible just said perfectly. That Bible is absolute truth. You can know something perfectly. Why? Because God wrote it. And you yourselves know perfectly. Here you go. For that day, that the day of the Lord. Well, what's the day of the Lord? Go read Matthew 24. Go read Isaiah 2. Go read Isaiah 13. Go read Ezekiel 13. Go read Joel 3. Just go read the Bible. Look up all those places. The day of the Lord comes and stuff like that. Listen, that day of the Lord takes there. You can say, well, people put it at different spots in the tribulation. Okay, but it's when the tribulation starts and out there to the battle of Armageddon, which takes you into the millennium. We'll be out of here by then. We're not there. The day of Christ, you say, well, the day of Christ, day of the Lord, in 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, just know this, you're getting raptured out of here. Day of the Lord lets you know. All right, so Matt, Revelation 16, look at verse 15. Revelation, where are you at in Revelation? You're in the tribulation, right? We're out of here, church is out of here. Revelation talking about that time. And look at verse 15. Behold, I come as a, what? Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. Lest he what? Well, yeah, they're watching. They're watching. They're watching. They know the times and the seasons. They're watching, but they don't know the hour, the day or the hour. But they better not be caught. I said, aren't you glad you don't have to worry? You're sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. So whether you're watching or looking, you still get to go anyway. I'm telling you, we have it real good, church. It's real good to understand that Bible. It's real good to understand the grace and how much the Lord has given to us. And my goodness, do we have it good. What does that mean? Well, that's going to lead me to these last couple verses here, and I'm going to let you go. He says here, in verse number 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, and sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, this world will not see peace until Jesus Christ sits on the throne. So even in the tribulation time, you know what they're going to be talking about? They're going to be talking about the same thing they're talking about right now. You know how people are fooled today? They're fooled by peace. Because everyone wants peace and everyone wants safety. You know who your safety is in? Safety is in the Lord. Your safety is of the Lord. Aren't you glad He watches over you and protects you and takes care of you? I'll go back to Sunday school just because it's on my mind there. I talked about that. The woman with 12 years with the issue of blood there, and she was sick, and the Lord healed her. Aren't you glad the Lord can heal? Jairus comes and says, my daughter, she needs healed so she can live. So she can live. Aren't you glad the Lord can take care of you and heal you? And help you? And He does that for you? And He watches over you? And you can pray? And you can trust Him? Look at 3 again, 4, going into 4. Now here's that word, but. Better understand this, that little acronym I give you for the word but in your Bible. It's good to just put that beside it. You better understand this. What are we to understand? Well, brethren, you are not in darkness. Go to John chapter 3, if you would. We're studying the book of John on Thursday nights. Aren't you glad the Lord didn't leave you in darkness? Listen, I'm glad I got saved out of darkness. But I'm glad He doesn't leave me in darkness either. You know, men love darkness rather than light. Why? For their deeds are what? You know why you love darkness? Because sometimes your deeds are evil. But can I tell you, darkness doesn't cover your evil deeds from God. So put them under the blood. Why hide in darkness when you can live in the light? That's a pretty good thought. Why hide when you can live? Why would you want to live and you're hiding? Isn't it better just be out and have the truth and the truth make you free? Why hide in darkness when you can live? Yeah. Don't be hiding today. Maybe you're hiding. Trying to hide from the Lord, trying to hide from others, trying to keep it in there. You know what the best thing you can do is just get down there and just put on the blood of Jesus Christ. John 3, look at verse 19. And this is the condemnation. This is the condemnation. Condemnation. What is it? That light is coming to the world. Well, who's the light? Jesus is the light. Did He not come into the world? Why is that condemnation? Why is that condemnation? Didn't He come to save us? Well, here's the problem. Look at the rest of the verse. And men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Evil. Listen, back there in 1 Thessalonians there, he said, now, brethren, don't be ignorant of this now. Listen, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness. You're not like Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, they were still in darkness with some things. Listen, you got all 66 books. You got the Spirit of God inside you. He told you how to study the Bible. He told you to read the Bible. He told you how to get understanding from the Bible. He even put Himself in you to give you understanding of the Bible. Do you not thank Him for that? Man, I thank God I don't have to be in darkness. I can pick up the book and say, you know what happened in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians? Somebody got a hold of them and preached to them and was telling them by letter and by word and those things there that they missed the rapture. And man, they believed them. They believed a heretic. You know what keeps you from believing in heretic and going in darkness? That book shines light. That book will give you the answers if you'll go to that book. The preaching, the Sunday school lesson, anything you heard today, you have a Bible to make sure it's true. Paul says, you follow me as I follow Christ. Well, we don't follow a man. You follow a man that follows Christ. You follow a man that preaches that book. That's how you get it. That's what you follow. You follow that book. So back here he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. I'm glad I know what's ahead of us. Isn't it a blessing to know the future? I'm glad I know my future. The Lord wrote it down for us. And then he tells you here, verse 5, Ye are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. And because of that, therefore, because of that, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. You know what sober means? To be serious. You know, there's a bunch of Christians out there, a bunch of saved people today that aren't serious about the Lord, about the coming of the Lord. You know what you want to be? You want to be serious. You want to be serious. Why? The time is short, it seems like. I don't want to be found asleep. Here's the preaching for you today. I'm going to go. I don't want to be found asleep spiritually on the Lord. 2 Thessalonians tells you before the coming of the Lord, before the rapture there, many shall depart and many shall fall away. You know why people are falling away? Because they're asleep spiritually. You know why many are falling away? Because they don't get a good understanding of that Bible. You know why many are falling away? Because they're sitting under preachers and sitting in places and listening to people that aren't giving them truth. Well, they're giving me the Bible. Are you sure they're giving you Bible? Because if they're giving you Bible, they have to give you rightly divided Bible. Otherwise, you can end up like these people ended up. And yet be saved, but still be a mess. Doctrine matters. And if you get your doctrine wrong, then you're going to get your Bible wrong. And many today are preaching things as doctrine, and they're doctrinally wrong. Or maybe the doctrine's right, they just got it in the wrong place for the wrong time. Hence, raptures. More than one rapture. Hence, mixing the rapture and the second advent and making them one thing. You realize many will tell you the second coming of Christ is the rapture? The second coming of Christ is not the rapture. The second coming of Christ means there was the first coming. His first coming, his feet touched the ground. You know what happens in the second coming? His feet touch the ground again. You know where we meet him in the rapture? We meet him in the air. In the air. Yeah, it's a great book. The Bible's a blessing. You know what keeps you from being afraid? I have people I personally know, family members, that are literally preparing to go through the tribulation because they go to a church that teaches them that they're going to go through the tribulation. And they have youngins. And now they're teenagers. And you know what he's scared to death. That's almost abuse. For a parent to make their kids sit there and get false teaching like that. Aren't you glad you have a book? Oh, that's a great book. Kids, you're going to be real thankful if your mom and dad bring you to a Bible-believing church that preaches the truth to you, the Bible to you. And you have your own Bible you can read, and the Spirit of God inside you say, amen, 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 amen. Because these people are a mess. A mess. You know, you have people you probably know that are afraid they're going to lose their salvation. Because they can't rightly divide the Bible. And they get into places like Matthew and places like Hebrews and Hebrews 3, 4, 6, 10. And something happens to those people. Aren't you glad you know that mail's not to you? The Bible's for you, so it's not all to you. Boy, that helps you. I'm just telling you, it's a real comfort. Why? I must hurry. Look at 6, now 7. Therefore, 6. Therefore, let us not sleep. Have you dozed off? I don't mean today. I got it. You're tired. You can go to sleep. No problem. I'll preach right over you. Don't bother me. Listen, if I worried about you falling asleep, I'd have quit a long time ago. And so would a brother John. So that's all right. You're tired. Let your eyelids go. I got you. Just wake up at some point. I told you the story before, the guy who snored in church, and he got all offended because Dad woke him up. But we will wake you up if you snore. So don't get offended. I put it out there ahead of time. There's your warning. All right? And no problem. No big deal. All right? But have you dozed off spiritually? Do you even think about the rapture anymore? Are you even looking for the glorious appearing? Are you even considering eternity? Are you even considering those around you, that there's a heaven and a hell and there's souls around you? Do you look and see their souls? Do you even consider handing a tract to somebody? Do you even consider picking up the Bible and reading it like you should and studying it like you should so you can grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus? Or have you just kind of dozed off? Well, you know, preacher, I've been preaching all this stuff for, you know, all these years, and it hasn't happened yet. Yeah, but it's going to happen. And it could happen in our time. This could be the fourth watch right now. You don't know what it is, just go look at the sign. You know, we put little things up like that for you to just go by and look and get a little bit of things in your mind. So when you read the Bible, it gives you a little bit. Just try to give you all the tools you can to understand that book. Why? Because that's the greatest book there is. And any understanding you get, you thank God for it. And boy, this thing's winding down. It's not winding up. It's not getting better. And you know what? That's kind of exciting, isn't it?
Well, preacher, I wish it would kind of go back to the old days, you know, back to like the Little House on the Prairie times.
We're far beyond that. Can I just tell you, it was as wicked back there as it is today. Sin is sin. Sin is sin. As in the days of Noah. You know what happened in the days of Noah? Here it is. Here's where the church is asleep. You know what happened in the days of Noah? No one was listening to the preacher of righteousness. Wasn't Noah a preacher of righteousness? And doesn't he say as it was in the days of Noah?
Well, that's just the world.
Listen, church, you want righteousness. You want to be preached righteousness. You believe righteousness. You want to live righteously. And that's going to go against this world. And it is inundating you. You see it all the time. Headlines all over the place. All these religions are bringing in the queers and the sodomites and letting them join hands and bringing them in as ministers. And that's the devil. That's not righteousness. They have fallen asleep, if they're saved at all in those places there, they have fallen asleep to the truth. Don't you fall asleep on the truth. The truth is what makes you free. You teach your kids the truth.
Oh, preacher, this parent, you know, I mean, it just seems like it's just a lost cause. Let me help you. It's not a lost cause. I really believe the Lord put me in that room for a reason today. Your kids need righteousness. Your kids need to know what to do right. No matter what anyone else does, you can do right.
And the Lord cares about even the little kids. Suffer those little kids to come unto me. I think about that. Parent, I think if you fail, God steps in. Why? He cares as much about them as He does you. I think they can minister to those little minds and bring some truth to them and help them. But listen, parent, don't fail. Don't fall asleep. I'm not saying it's easy, but stay the course, finish the fight. It's worth it! It's worth getting any ounce of truth and every ounce of truth you can into your kids. Tell your kids about a place they're going, not about this old world. Tell them it's better to lay it up there than it is down here. You're not living for down here, you're living for up there. You know that's a better thought for your kids? You know what helps all your kids when they go to bed at night? I asked them in Sunday school how many of them were saved. I got some testimonies from them. I appreciated it. I had a blessing. You know what helps every one of your kids when they go off to sleep? The Lord does. And somehow the Lord takes care of us. Righteousness. 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 I'm going to say it again. He was a preacher of righteousness. How many listened? Seven. Seven. Say, preacher, there was eight in the boat. Well, Noah was the preacher. You all thought I lost my mind. I got it. How many are listening today? Are you dozed off? Have you kind of given up? You don't even open the Bible at the house and read it to your kids anymore? You don't tell your kids anymore what's right and what's wrong? You don't tell your kids about what's wicked is wicked and what sin is sin and stay away from that stuff? Do you not tell your kids to separate from the world? You should. You should. Well, preacher, you know, nowadays, you know, it's a little hard, a little tougher. You know, the situations. You know, God knows every situation you're in. And I'm pretty sure I don't find anywhere in the Bible where the Lord gives us an excuse not to preach righteousness. But you know what happens with the church here at the last days and we're getting out of here? We're asleep. The only thing that's going to wake the church up is going to be the trump of God. That's why you're real thankful for eternal security. Because there's a bunch of people out there falling away. No longer in church. No longer serving the Lord. No longer even thinking about God, but they got saved. You know, that's a great, merciful God. Now, that's not the way you want to go out, though, church. You want to go out serving Him. You want to go out fully awake. You want to go out with your eyeballs like, wow, this could be the day, Lord. Man, I want to go out doing everything I can for You, Lord. I must hurry and I'm done. I said it like 10 times. 7. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. I take it Ephesians 5, Romans 13. I don't have time. Let me continue. But let us. You go through there and you're going to see a lot of the we's. The us, the we's, the you's, and the they's, and the them's. That's how I let you know who He's talking about that second advent. But let us, that's us, church. But let us, who are of the day, be sober. Putting on the breastplate. Now here in 1 Thessalonians, it's different than Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 is the breastplate of righteousness, right? Well, here is the breastplate of faith and love. Faith and love. All right, so your breastplate there protects you. You know what that breastplate does? It protects. It'll protect your heart. It'll protect your heart from the heretics. It'll protect your heart from those that are speaking lies today. You better put on the breastplate of faith and love. You know what the Bible says about love? The love of Christ constraineth you. You know what keeps you from doing things? You love God. The fear of God. Amen. Fear God. Fear God. Fear God. You teach your kids to fear God. And it's not no reverential fear. It's a fear of what God will do to you. He'll whip you. Scourgeth His Son. I just picked up because I listen to all the time. He puts something on you, Ajax won't take off. God can do that to you. You better fear God. You know, before you want to dabble into sin and get all messed up in sin and dabble out that thing, thinking, there's pleasure in that, and I'll just choose that over. In your mind, you're thinking, man, oh man, I don't know. If I do that, I fear what God... That should keep you from doing it. But not only that, it should be the love of Christ. Man, you look at something there, a temptation before you, whatever it is there, and the thought of getting out of church or getting away from God or quitting on God or not finishing the race, and you just look back to Calvary and what He did for you. You know, that should keep you from going in that direction and keep you serving Him. The breastplate of faith and love. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation, that lines up with Ephesians. And here's verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. You know, if every person that preaches that the church is going to go through the tribulation would just get a hold of that verse and believe that verse, they wouldn't preach it anymore. You're not appointed unto wrath. You know, that brings you comfort, by the way. That helps you to know that. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. There you go. That whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. You know, someday, church, you're going to be with Him. Isn't that going to be a blessed day? Aren't you glad He wrote you that great book called the Holy Bible? Somebody sent me a question. Somebody was asking them the question. Why does it say King James Bible if it's God's Bible? Why does it have a man's name on it? Why do you read it like that? Because I'm pretty sure the guy who asked the question is effeminate. I don't know. Sorry. You know what he's doing? That's a man who doesn't want to believe truth. You don't want to believe truth, you'll find a way out. You realize every book of that Bible has a name on it? But doesn't the front of your Bible say Holy Bible? Amen. Doesn't that Bible tell you God is holy? So doesn't that tell you the author of that Bible is God? But you see how easily people can be sidetracked? How easily people can be drawn away? How easily people can be seduced away by King James Bible? Why would you put a man's name in front of the Bible? But can I just warn you? Please. If you fall asleep spiritually, you can go that direction. Here today, gone tomorrow. Still saved. But you can get your doctrine messed up real quick also. What you believe today, you might not believe next week unless you stay in that book. Be sober. You better be serious about this book. How serious are you about it? Can I just give you just a quick test and I'm done? Did you even pick it up on a Sunday morning before you came to church? No, I'm not saying you had to. You're coming to church. Well, I'm coming to church. Brother John's going to take us to the book of Genesis. You know, he's going to read the Bible to you. Preacher will get up there. He'll read the scripture to me. What about you reading the scripture? You know, when you take something serious, you put a lot of effort into it. When you're serious about something, you ever say, oh, I'm serious. You know what you do? You're motivated. You know, you should be serious about God. You should be motivated. Motivated to finish. Motivated to stay right. Motivation to keep the right doctrine. Why? There are preachers all over. Especially through the avenues you have today. Just like in 2 Thessalonians where Paul had to come and say, by letter, by word. Listen, stop listening to those idiots. That's my interpretation of what he said. Why? Because he put them in fear. They feared they missed the rapture.